Peas on Moss is brought to you by Kimberly Schaub, a culinary scientist turned business developer. Over the past 4 years, the audience has downloaded episodes over 40,000 times, and we have 1,500 impressions across the website and a host of social media platforms. Will you consider contributing to the show to help keep it on air? Donations through Patreon help to offset the costs of web hosting, editing, and producing the various Peas on Moss offerings, from podcast episodes to videos, and every little bit helps. From corporate advertisement to sponsored content and private contributions. Reach out to me on peasonmoss.com for details. Hey, welcome to a new Quick Bite podcast episode by Peas on Moss. My name is Kimberly. I'm a research chef turned business developer, and I'm excited to bring you the season 5 of the show. Today's Quick Bite is with Dr. Angela Shaw from Iowa State University Extension Office. She was a speaker at 2020's Research Chefs Association online conference, Powered Up. There, she talked about food safety requirements in COVID, and I invited her to share about her work with Peas on Moss. As she was explaining her work as a lecturer at Iowa State, she described the unique panel that she speaks on, designed to help PhD students learn the exercise of researching a topic and taking a side, in order to understand the power and limitations of evidence-based policies. Having worked for a food startup whose nutritional claims were based on specific health research, I found it really fascinating to hear how it seems that almost any nutrition claim and its opposition could be scientifically grounded. Dr. Shaw helped me work through that aha moment and contextualized it with what we've been learning about coronavirus in the past year. Let's take a listen. Having that variety of voices helps other people, or helps, I guess, the students in the course understand that there are many ways to look at one topic, and they may actually find an interest in one type of perspective and might be able to build their career in that direction too, right?
Very much so. One other course I'll mention is every year we have a raw milk debate. And it's such a fun, I love, they switch me from each side, so against it or for it, but then they bring us in for a debate. And so we have industry people, academia, and we debate for it and against it. And that's part of an assignment for the students where they're randomly assigned to defend it or go against it. And so it's a way to bring in us as experts and have all these arguments of why you should drink it and why you shouldn't. And from a food safety perspective, yes and no. And it's just a fun way to jazz up that topic and also have some healthy debate. But I can take a topic and I can find tons of articles that go for it or against it. And we see this in a lot of different topics. And so more the idea is to get the students to think about what data is being collected, who's representing that data, and get them to get some critical thinking in that. It's important for you to look at both sides because there could be merit in both types of studies that would say that is solid research that says that it's good or bad, but it's more important to actually learn about both sides of the literature and say which one is truly science-based. And you'll find a lot of loopholes when you dive in and you go into those meta-analysis of kind of the literature that say, oh, these are some good things and these are some bad things unrelated to a topic. So I say it's a skill, but it also takes time to do. So I always teach my students that don't always go with your gut, but go with your foundation of research, of what we know within a microbiology and food safety, and really challenge yourself on those things as we get new research findings. Because some of the things that I learned way back in the day, we don't believe in now. I mean, that's because we've had additional research that has come out and said, we thought it was like this, but now that we have more pieces to that puzzle, we actually have a different framework for it.
That's interesting. So, what I heard you say is as a PhD and as somebody who's reviewing the research literature that's out there, assess not only the conclusions and see if that helps you build a different framework, but also look at the study construct itself, the methodology being used to see how, I'm trying to think of what the word would be, how robust that study is.
Yes. Yes, okay. Definitely. The power. We use the word power in research, which basically says, how much does this actually represent the population? Does it have enough power to say yes or no to this? Or is there more data that needs to be had? And I think the best papers always conclude with, what additional data do we need? I don't think there's any research projects I've ever done where I've come to a clean, well, some I've come to a conclusion of, but I've had more research thoughts or things that could have contribute or things that we don't know about to add to it.
So in that, then, I've heard mumblings that science seems so fickle because they're constantly changing their mind. And it's like, well, I don't know who you're saying is a they on that, but, as we learn more about our world and we're building out that framework, something you said earlier is that things that you learned way back in the day are different now, that we've had more research to change that framework. How does that not look like wishy-washiness?
It does. And I think that this has been a main complaint of everybody during COVID-19. For an example, first we came out and said we didn't need masks. We didn't need to. All we need to do is wash our hands. Now we're saying everybody should wear masks. And so it does seem like it is like, can they make up their mind? But in reality, the Center for Disease Control, as well as United States Department of Agriculture, has been putting out grants to get data on this. There have been several grant rounds for us to learn more about the coronavirus and learn more about its survivability in every aspect of our food industry, as well as our world. And we haven't had any, with this specific strain, there hasn't been a lot of research. So they're putting out recommendations based on what we know now. But as studies develop and as we get more data, then those models that we have are going to change. So yes, it seems wishy-washy, but to me, it sounds more solid. It sounds more research-based. It sounds more evidence-based. And that's how I want to run our lives, is based on not just how we feel, but really what does the data say about it?
I think that's a really important message to hammer home. And something you mentioned just prior is go back to the basics, do a crazy check on what we know about our world, that has proven so far to be timeless about food safety basics or kind of logic basics in some places. You know, what are we doing and what are we learning today? And does this check out with the rest of our world?
Yes. But I would also say that some of our foundation is still inexact. I cite some papers on milk that are from the 1920s. It hasn't changed. It has not changed on how milk can be produced and how cheese can be produced. And we're still solid on that research. So although some things change, some of the basics behind food safety about pH and survival in different pHs and water activities, those are timeless. And unless we find new species out there, those are going to be our recommendations from now until thousands of years from now. Those are going to still be the basics. So although things change, some things still remain, and we are still citing things from the 1900s as still true today.
Thank you for joining us for Season 5's Quick Bite episode. I hope you're enjoying these short and sweet conversations. I'm hoping to post a full-length episode someday because the podcast guests talk about such interesting topics. In the meantime, I appreciate your continued subscription and support. Check out past episodes on peasonmoss.com and sign up for one of the upcoming events that Peas on Moss is hosting, including an RCA Cooking Series fundraiser for the 25th anniversary and the monthly Hustlers Under 40 networking mixer. No, you don't have to be younger than 40 nor a research chef to join. And we'd love to have you there. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk again soon.